Good morning. It's good to see all of you. There is a saying that to love and to be loved is like being warmed by the sunshine on both sides at the same time. Maybe right after a heat wave is not the best time to talk about being warm from a sunshine. But then if God's love is something we are expected to feel, like warmth on our skin, we are in trouble because how do we feel love from a God we can't see? Not being able to feel God's love is the root of many of our problems on this 4th of July weekend. Because yes, our brains know God loves us. But for many of us, something gets lost in translation from our mind down to our hearts. Feeling God's love is too small a part of our regular daily life and experience. We are like people whose tongues have gone numb. We know that there's something better. We're just not sure if it really matters. I remember one time there was someone whose health was declining. They knew they had a couple of weeks to live, and so they asked me to come and meet with them. And now I want you to think for a minute what you hope to be like in this situation. If you know that you've got a couple of weeks left to live, what questions about God are going to be going through your mind? For example, think of our basic beliefs about God that we might start doubting when it's our turn to die. It's very common, for example, to begin wondering, did I do enough to get my ticket punched into heaven? At the root of all of our questions that we may have at the end of our lives, I'm guessing that one question looms the largest. Like it did for the person who I met with, visited in their last weeks. And that question is God really good? And before we get to how Romans 8 answers this question, there's another problem that we have to deal with first. And you may be saying, I know where you're going with this, Pastor. I know that you're going to end up saying God loves us and is for us, and when it comes to my turn to die, I don't need to worry because God is good. I got it. So then really there's two problems staring us in the face. The first is that the road between what we know in our minds, God loves us, and what we believe in our hearts hasn't been well traveled. Two roads diverged in a wood. What if we took the one less traveled by? There's a disconnect between what we've been taught, God loves us, and what we believe in our hearts. God hates me. Too strong? I'll soften it. When our lives are rotten and the decibel levels of the problems of the world are loud, it is a workout to believe God loves us. Maybe we struggle to believe God loves us because our recognition of God's love is limited. So we invite God today to make an interstate between our mind and our hearts, what our minds know and what our hearts believe. And after that disconnect, the second problem glaring at us before we can get to Romans 8, what that says about our hearts and whether or not God actually loves us, is that sometimes we may have complete security about what God's going to do for us in the future, come heaven, and yet we are completely missing out on Jesus' love in the present. Jesus' love doesn't really seem to be on our radar. We're just trying to get through the day and the week and the season. Mike and I went out to eat one night this past week, and there was a child in the booth next to us. Mike overheard the child say to the mom, "You were born in the 1900s. what was that like? I am old enough to remember when the internet was first born. And I remember people figuring out the coding to make their own websites. And usually it was just a bunch of bookmarks for their favorite musicians or athletes or whatever it was that people were into. And you'd search for someone whose music that you liked, and nothing would come up in your search. It sounds so weird to say it now. Do you remember? Nothing would come up. Nothing would come up. Either the musician's website hadn't been created yet, or your prompt wasn't quite right, or the search engine wasn't good enough. And now, of course, all of that's changed, and AI exacerbates all of that. I could have asked Claude or ChatGPT why God's love matters for us on the daily, but I didn't want to know AI's answer. Because it doesn't really matter what any robot or any other person says about God's love for your day-to-day life. What matters is what you say. What difference would it make in your daily life if your heart believed that Jesus loves you right now? I'm going to give us a minute to think about this. Leaders, if you will please pass out these papers. You can find one if you got it from a greeter. If you didn't get one, Allison and Steve will pass one out to you. If you need a paper or a pencil, raise your hand. Someone will bring those to you. Laurie, if you will come forward and in a few seconds play 90 seconds of your song for us. Everyone online, you can put your answers in the chat so that you can participate together. I'll ask the question again. What difference would it make in your daily life if your heart believed Jesus loves you right now? Fill in the blanks, and please write legibly. I would be, I would do, I would have. Laurie. When you're done, you can pass your responses to the center aisle. They will be collected for you. And if I can get a couple other helpers to gather up the papers, that would be great. If I could have two volunteers helping, that would be great. Thank you. I can already tell I wish I had time to read all of our answers. I'm going to share some with you. The question again was, what difference would it make in your daily life if your heart believed Jesus loves you now? I would be content. I would do more to love. I would have total peace. Oh, I can't read that. I would be content. We have a theme. I would show love to others. Wow. I would have compassion on others. I would be different. I would do new things. I would have trust. I would believe in myself more. I would be calm, content, loving. I would do things for others through love. I would have contentment and peace. I would have taken time to talk with someone I didn't know very well. I would have a constant friend and companion. I would have joy. A lot of these are similar. I'm skipping the ones that are the same. I would be self-assured and rest that I don't have to be anything or do the right thing. I would have time to rest and to be. I'm sorry, some of this I cannot read. I would do more smiling. I would have no worries. I would have faith. I would be me, and I would have me. Wow. These are so good. A theme here is God's love is important. We didn't even get through nearly half of them. Do you understand the importance of receiving God's love? So if God builds a road from our minds now down to our hearts and what we believe, if we can start to live it out that Jesus loves us, can you imagine all of these things that will change in our lives? We will get to be people of peace and of joy. We get to have a party. Wow. Abiding in God's presence. More faith. We get to be people of lasting freedom, not a freedom of July the 4th. So now it is on God to prove to us that these words from Romans 8 and that we've written about are true, that we are loved beyond what we can ask or imagine, according to God's power, not ours. Because like the Apostle Paul, I seek for my message and my preaching to not be with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I invite us to think about the people receiving Paul's letter. They were in the house churches of Rome, and their challenges are real. They were mostly slaves or ex-slaves. As Michael Bird describes them, they were living on or beneath the poverty line, often with no surviving relatives, facing opposition on every corner, no priesthood or temple to visit, and no visible symbol of divine presence. And they were about to go through Nero's persecution of Christians. Was Paul writing his letter from a comfy recliner, feet propped up, world at his feet? Or as scholar N.T. Wright puts it, was he on his way to fulfill a difficult and dangerous mission delivering the collection to Jerusalem that might have cost him his life for one reason or another, whether that's the Torah Jews who were observant, Torah observant Jews, or the clash between his gospel and Caesar's kingdom? because God's ways of love clash with empire. Paul speaks of what he knows, and we heard his long list of hardships that he faced. All of them he faced except for possibly the sword. And otherwise, if he wasn't speaking in faith from his hardship, verse 31, about God being for us, then he would sound boastful, the way that armies going to war and winning athletes claim that God is on their side. God being for us is not about winning or about feeling sunshine, the warmth of God's love like sunshine when we're cold. God's love is not about being trouble-free, as we've been told. So here's an example. Nod your head up and down if you believe God loves Jesus. Good, I'm with you. And yet, when Jesus was on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus went through a time where he did not feel God's love. So just because Jesus felt abandoned does not mean he was abandoned. So we are still loved even when we don't feel it. So when the men in John 8 take the woman in adultery to stone her, and she's been kneeling or lying on the ground, and she's terrified of that moment when the rock is going to penetrate into her skull. And she looks up, and the men have all gone. And Jesus asks her, "Has no one condemned you?" People of Zion, can we see? Jesus is here and transforming our condemnation. Can we let God have access to our hearts? Can we let God open the lock so that our hearts get it, that Jesus loves us? Jesus loves us. Sometimes learning to trust God's goodness takes time, and that's fine. God is patient. God sees your courage in this moment. Now, to be clear, I value education. And when it comes, at the same time, when it comes to believing that Jesus loves us, thinking our way cannot get us there. It fails us. There's a passage of scripture that says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom." Scripture teaches that believing God comes before the pieces all fit together, before God makes sense. This is why it's a struggle for people when they're wanting to be baptized, but they're not quite ready yet. They're thinking, I've got to have it all figured out, but the believing comes before the figuring. So get this with me. Let's do this together. I've got a question for you to answer in your mind for yourself, between you and God. What is it that keeps you from believing in your heart, Jesus loves me? Fill in the imaginary blank. I struggle to believe in my heart that Jesus loves me because blank. It's just between you and God. Raise your hand once you know the answer to that question. Raise it high so I can see. I'll give you more time. I'll share the question again. I struggle to believe in my heart that Jesus loves me because blank. When you know the answer, raise your hand. Good. I am excited to share with you what God showed me. You've got your answer that you filled in the blank of why it's hard for your heart to believe Jesus loves us. And now you're ready to hear verse 35 again. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Will trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And hear the list in verse 38. Will death or life, angels or demons, the present or the future, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation? Nothing, no thing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That includes your fill in the blank. Our reasons that we filled in the imaginary blank for why we struggle to get it into our hearts that Jesus loves us, even those reasons fail. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Which means not even time can separate us from God's love. Which means Jesus' love is available right here in this moment. Whether you feel it, whether you see it, whether you believe it, Jesus' love is present for each of us, here and online and throughout the world. Which means we have an opportunity right now to start living joyfully, with faith, less defensive, with greater peace, loved completely, kinder, trusting more. Party. Laurie, if you'll come forward and play another round of Jesus Loves Me in just a moment. This is a moment for each of us to kneel in our minds before Jesus and let Jesus change the picture in our minds from Jesus being angry, from God being angry with us, to imagining the love on Jesus' face for us right now in this moment. There's nothing that can separate us from this love. So God, let our hearts receive this love. Amen.